It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, August 15th, 2022. On today's ship schedule, we have 5 inbounders, we have 4 outbounders, and we have 7 ships anchored in the river near Astoria. In our marine weather forecast, we've got north winds today, 5 to 10 knots, wind waves from the north 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, west swells 4 feet at 9 seconds, and patchy morning fog is in the forecast. And today we're going to be talking about safety in the water again. There were some drownings earlier this month in the river, and I just want to bring up some safety tips for you because this is a really tragic thing that doesn't need to happen. So we'll talk about that in just a couple minutes. So first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have our first arrival in the river today was the USNS Curtis, arriving from San Diego, headed for Portland for the shipyard at Swan Island. She is a military sealift command vessel. You can tell that by the USNS initials in front of her name. She is part of a fleet of ships that come into the Columbia that are owned by the Navy but operated by civilian sailors, and they serve as support vessels to active duty ships. So she came into the river past Astoria about 5:30 a.m., probably be in Portland by about 11:30 this morning. The bulk carrier, the PPS Salmon, is arriving from Columbia. She's headed for Astoria's anchorage, probably be there by about 10:30 a.m. Eventually, she'll head upriver to the port of Portland to pick up potash. And the Broadway is a petroleum tanker arriving from South Korea, headed for the port of Vancouver. She is passing Astoria, maybe about 2:30 p.m. Look for her in Vancouver by about 8:30 p.m. The ATB Vision is arriving from Anacortes, headed for Portland. Refined petroleum there. She will pass Astoria around 3:30 p.m. and be in Portland by about 9:30 p.m. The Grand Concord is a dry bulk carrier arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for the Rainier Anchorage on the south side of the river near Longview. She's going to the port of Longview eventually to pick up soda ash. She'll pass Astoria at about 7:30 p.m. and be in the Rainier Anchorage at about 11 p.m. In our outbounders, we have the New Intelligence leaving Kalama carrying wheat, leaving around 1 a.m. She passed Astoria outbound around 6 a.m. In our outbounders, the Louisiana leaving Portland with refined petroleum, leaving around 6 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around noontime. The UBC Tarragona is leaving Portland. She's a container ship, leaving around 12:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 6:30 p.m. The CF Diamond, leaving Kalama, corn, soy, or wheat on board there, leaving around 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 10 p.m. In our Astoria anchorage, we have the Sari Inda, headed to Portland from Rice Island. She is picking up wheat there, and she's leaving around 10 p.m. She'll arrive in Portland by about 4 a.m. on Tuesday. And awaiting orders in the Astoria anchorage, we have the Annika N., the Chemtex Diligence, the Padulis Leader, the Despina D., the Pan Clover, and the BTG Apo. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about something that has been in the news recently, something tragic. But I want to bring it up again because I hope this will save lives. 2 men drowned earlier this month when they went swimming at Vista Park, which is on the Columbia River west of Kathlamet. Another man who had been swimming with them was pulled to shore by a Good Samaritan and lived. A camper there at the park reported that 3 men had been swimming in the Columbia River and were all out of sight. That was according to a report from the sheriff's office. The U.S. Coast Guard, the sheriff's office, Kathlamet Ambulance, Skamakawe Aid and Wakayakum Search and Rescue, Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife, Washington State Patrol, and even participants from a local sailboat race in the area all helped look for the missing swimmers, and they did not find them. I believe that there were follow-up accounts on social media locally that I saw that bodies were eventually found, but I'm not quite sure about that. The men had been camping in the park and went swimming. Now, I know this is a terribly tragic story, and there are grieving family members out there, so I won't say much about this particular story. But what I do want to focus on here is how important it is for you as a person who may be enjoying the river here locally to understand how dangerous it can be. I've talked with you before about how when the air is hot, the water is cold, that can be dangerous. The river remains cold even in the summer, which can cause hypothermia and difficulty swimming. Right now, the temperature in the Columbia River near Skamakaway isn't really too bad. It's about 71 degrees. So that gives you a significant time period in which to survive. But that probably was not the issue in this particular incident. The bigger issue in this case was probably strong currents and eddies in the river, which can even pull a person under. The river is an extremely dynamic and fast-moving body of water here. This is why the U.S. Coast Guard cautions everyone to wear a PFD, a life jacket, when swimming, to protect them from being pulled under and also to buy time if they do get swept away by the current. Here's some advice from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. This is from a press release I found that they put out this summer. Drownings and boating-related deaths needlessly continue to claim lives in Oregon. The Oregon State Marine Board reported 19 boating-related fatalities in 2021, and the Oregon Health Authority recorded 57 drownings in 2020, which is a 160% increase from 2019. Life jackets could have prevented many of these deaths. Recreational boating-related incidents and deaths are beginning to trend upward, with the growth in paddling activities, which include kayaks, canoes, and stand-up paddleboards especially. 2020 was a record high number of fatalities, and the fatality rate remains higher than the 10-year average. There have been drownings even in reservoirs here, where current is not necessarily an issue. So the Army Corps of Engineers urges people to take these precautions, like wearing a life jacket. It will help you survive if you unexpectedly fall in the water, and can save your life if you become exhausted due to fatigue, waves, or current while swimming. Know your swimming abilities. If you're not a good swimmer, be very, very careful in the water. Expect the unexpected. If you fall or jump into water that's colder than 70 degrees, you can inhale water from involuntary gasping. And watch your alcohol consumption. Alcohol induces an inner ear condition called labyrinthitis that can cause you to become disoriented when you're underwater and not realize which way is up. And another important point here about going to the beach in the Pacific Northwest. Just because there's a beach and there's water doesn't mean it's safe to swim. While some communities here do have lifeguards, lifeguards in general are few and far between on Pacific Northwest beaches, on rivers, and the ocean. So if you go in the water here, assume that you will have to save yourself if you get in trouble. That means a life jacket. That's really it. People drown because they're not wearing them, so it's that simple. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.